Good day. We are Cynthia Barnes and...
I'm Leslie Armstrong.
You are listening to CJMP 90.1 FM, maybe on your car radio or accessible on CJMP website podcasts. Scroll down, down, down to categories and then further down to the bird in hand. We are broadcasting from the shores of the Salish Sea, the dwelling of the Kla'aman people for over 10,000 years and possibly more. The sponsor bird today is the pileated woodpecker, which inspired Woody Woodpecker back in 1940. This woodpecker can be very large and goes after trees infected with bugs. Our guest today is Catherine Clouton, a.k.a. Grim Angel, who is currently affiliated with the Cathet Pride Society. So welcome, Catherine.
Hi, thank you.
Can you tell us a bit about yourself, for example, where you're from, how you got here?
Well, I originally came here from Alberta. Through a series of weird and unfortunate events sometimes, and good ones, I found myself here through my partner, and where...
You're getting emotional?
Just try not to, like, dive too deep into...
That's okay.
Drama.
Just whenever you feel comfortable
with it. How long have you been here, then?
About 7 years.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so you're not a total newcomer?
No, pretty closeted for the longest time. I was not super social. I was kind of closed off, and becoming part of the Cathet Pride has helped...
help you to find some friends?
Yeah, exactly.
So you found it welcoming here?
Yes.
Awesome.
As an older person, I've had a bunch of conversations with friends about... What does non-binary mean? I think most people get trans, but maybe could you comment a little bit about that?
For my understanding for non-binary is someone who doesn't identify with either male or female. They're just kind of them as a person themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They're not conforming to either one, and they're just excessively... what's the word? Initially just themselves. They're just presenting as them.
I think that's a really interesting concept because I can relate to that. I think
I can too. I love that explanation.
Yeah.
It's so non-judgmental. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think there used to be a very stereotyped roles that we used to play where to be masculine, there was a certain sort of stereotype around being somebody who does not cry, somebody who's strong, who's the breadwinner, all those kind of concepts. Very restricting, yeah. And fortunately, we see big changes happening in playing bigger roles as parents, being emotional, all that kind of stuff, learning to communicate.
And being emotionally open to their partners and whatnot, yes.
And raising children. Mm-hmm. Who are more emotionally open. I know I referred to this a couple of weeks ago, but as a teacher, I saw many little boys very comfortable with crying, and that would not have been the case.
And possibly playing with dolls or whatever.
Years ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think also for women, there were stereotypes about, well, women don't do well at math or science. We're not as blunt about what we have to say. We are more pleasers. I think, those kind of roles that were traditional, which I personally think have some problems.
Oh, for sure.
Again, really, really restricting.
Very restricting. I mean, I heard a model once who talked about being beautiful and what a handicap that was.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that a little bit, not that I was that beautiful or anything, but just that people wanted to respond to you in a certain kind of way, visually. They wanted to respond to you visually. They weren't really super interested in what you had to say necessarily.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about that a bit, how that might have changed, or what do you think?
From me being born roughly 90s, so growing up in that area, it was a lot more starting to be more open, being like girls can kind of do anything. You can be whatever you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
The male side was a lot more still depending on where you were. And me personally being in Alberta, that's kind of the Texas of Canada. Very conservative, very still traditional roles for a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
But there were certain parts that were still kind of developing that were getting... children and people to open up more and understand that that restrictive way of thinking isn't entirely the norm anymore, or you're open to express yourself more often.
Yeah, thank goodness for that. That, I mean, I think there's a spectrum, really, you know, being extremely masculine versus being extremely feminine. And then there's sort of everybody in the middle or, you know, somewhere along that line. So dispensing with stereotypes related to gender mm-hmm. can be beneficial. Well, is, I'm going to say, is beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Except that you were raised in Alberta, which is a bit of a harness.
Yeah, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've got a little bit of handle on non-binary, which I really appreciate you doing, because for our listeners out there, I'd also like to ask you a little bit about trans, and it seems to be happening more and more. I know, seem to know more people who are going through that transition. Mm-hmm. And can you comment on that at all, or?
Well, it's really kind of different for each individual person, and a lot of the time they end up, we're understanding that gender is more fluid, not is strictly male or female. You're kind of in between, because sometimes in certain certain parts of your life you can be one and then eventually drift to the other. But that's not so in my case, is just trying to organize my thoughts here.
Mm-hmm.
We're just...
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Yeah, just give you a bit more time to think about that. Mm-hmm. Can I ask you how you identify? Is that too personal a question?
No, I identify she, her, female.
She, her, female.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so can you say more about that?
Okay. Well,
I don't want to intrude on your boundaries, so you're going to have to... You're going to have to tell me, hey, Cynthia.
No, a little too personal, though. I've always identified more, felt more in touch with my more, I guess that would be more traditional feminine emotions and ideal of myself. I've kind of known this since I was fairly young.
Yeah.
But growing up in the household I was, it was not accepted, and they fought tooth and nail to have me try and repress everything, and that boiled up into a whole bunch of other issues that I don't want to get into.
Mm-hmm.
But
Did you leave home when you were in your teens?
It was
a catalyst for you leaving, was it?
No, I didn't actually come out as trans until probably about 5 years ago now.
But you must have felt that by leaving home and possibly that province or that little town mm-hmm. or city you were growing up in, you must have intuitively felt that some doors would start opening and you could start feeling more comfortable. Am I?
Actually, that wasn't entirely on my mind at that point. It was.
But looking back, do you think maybe it was an intuition?
Definitely a catalyst part of it. Yeah,
correct.
That's for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so
hindsight's a great thing. We often don't understand why we do things, and then
decade
or so will pass, and you'll go, oh, I was actually following my intuitions.
Yes.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that comment, because I think that's true for us all, is that we're so immersed in our life at certain points that we think, you know, this is our reality, and this makes perfect sense, and then we look back at it and we kind of go, we see maybe more context, or we begin to understand why we're behaving a certain kind of way, and that is, there's a cause and effect kind of thing happening.
Mm-hmm. See, there are some good things about aging.
You get a little bit more clarity.
Yeah, some good clarity, reflection. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the expression that we hear often is it gets better, right? And I think that's used often for young people that are suffering and feel left out for all kinds of different reasons.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Whether they're a nerd or whether they are gay or whether they're too tall or too fat or too something, right?
It's very difficult for, I think, young people now, because there is such a stereotypical picture of what you should be. And social media just really enforces it. I mean, it must be just very difficult to be young growing up now.
It's crazy for all like the influential things on especially social media and the different trends that pop up. And then you're, oh, you always still want to be the popular person. You want to follow the newest things, do the newest things, keep up with your rest of the social group or your perceived what you're trying to, your perceived identity.
Yeah, yeah. Do you find that since you've been here, and I think you mentioned before we turned the mics on that you're on the board of directors for CAFET?
On the council board.
Council board. Do you find that you can lend a helping hand to newcomers and younger people?
Yes, for sure. We're definitely trying to branch out and contact more of there. For contacting like people for younger people in say the trans community, there is Trans CAFET, I think it is.
I think you're right.
And we're trying to partner up and talk with them a little bit more about organizing events or just be involved together so we can offer different resources to who needs it.
I think that's super. And I just also know that I think Brooke provides a lot of support to gay youth and to youth that are in the, can you say the initials again? The
LGBTQ2+
community.
I think that's it.
LGBTQ2+.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, I think that's kind of a bit of a standing joke, those letters, but not so much a standing joke reality. I think for many, high school is a very, very difficult time because it's a time where you're wanting to conform to your peer group. And if you're the least bit different, that makes it challenging. So you sort of pretend to be like everybody else. Yes. Or I'm just speaking about.
Oh, yeah, no, that's definitely from my experience here, trying to not stick out too much, but stick out just enough to, I don't know, attempt to be unique, but you end up just kind of copying everybody else.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it reminds me the town that I raised my daughter in, there were three high schools, and she had the great unfortunate luck of going to the one that was the jock sports high school.
Oh, fun.
and there was also a very artsy oriented one, and then there was quite an outdoors oriented one, but it was our district that she had to go to the jock one, and it was so hard for her because she was not that.
No, I think high school's got to be one of the most difficult times in a young person's life. Has it changed at all, do you think? Like, do you think that now, like on TV shows and stuff, not a really good measurement, right? But you see kids reaching out to each other, taking care of each other. And can you comment on that? Like, what do you...
It really depends on the person's social circle and how good they are with their, like, what kind of good friends they actually do have there. And sometimes, yeah, you can have some really good ones. You can also have some real two-faced and... Yeah, those kind of people. And also depends on what kind of school you're going to. If you're going to a public school, private or Catholic or more
Christian.
Yeah, that one. Ooh.
What was yours like?
I bounced around a lot through high school. That was because there was a lot of family drama.
Sure.
My household wasn't exactly super stable.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But no, I went to the art school. I've gone to the jock school, and then it was started with the jock school that was in Calgary, and then moved to Okotoks, and then that was kind of the arts/trades school that I ended up finishing up in, and that was pretty good. But I was also didn't want to get involved with a lot of the social circles and or.
Well, Okotoks is kind of it's real Texas, isn't it?
Yes, it's right outside of Calgary, and Calgary's I've heard has gotten better, especially for like the gay community and the LGBTQ community. But not exactly when I was going to school; that was still coming out, and it was building up speed, and there was still a lot of pushback, and now there's still pushback, but they're seem to be the minority one now, not mm-hmm. the majority.
I think the comforting note here is that the noisiest, most prejudiced, racist, homophobic crowd seem to be the loudest in terms of getting attention.
Yes.
And unfortunately, those of us not in that particular category or group or whatever, we maybe need to speak up more. I'm not sure, but
they're the loudest, but they're not necessarily the largest in number.
No, exactly.
But so you lose sight of that because they get amplification.
100%. And then I've noticed a weird trend with that. Usually the most loud and outspoken people against that are actually super closeted themselves and are more or less projecting on, I need to be all this. I need to be super masculine, super that, and anti-everything there because I can't be my true self. I gotta hide that. I gotta hide everything.
I think that's a really interesting comment. I mean, what drives people that are homophobic and to be mean, to be nasty, and to be critical? You kind of want to ask yourself, where is that coming from?
I would bet a lot of it lies in fear, a lot of it lies in just not knowing, and then you can throw in that little bit of what they were raised with.
Yes.
They're just following family values, the only ones that they know. And I'm not letting them off the hook, but there are reasons why people behave badly.
Yes.
We can be compassionate.
I think that raises a whole other question, which I think we're going to take on another date, and that is bridging the gap. People say, we're all the same underneath it all, but sometimes that's not readily apparent. Mm-hmm. But we are definitely going to talk about that a lot more. I have a personal question. And again, don't want to step on boundaries here, but the process of trans, I guess that varies for every person.
For the process for transitioning, it definitely depends on for each person. And if you're male to female or female to male. And that's usually just done through your doctor for the most part.
Okay.
At least for adults. I know this part on the adults, it's mainly just communicating with your doctor and then getting in touch with a transitioning clinic. And they'll start you on, this is totally optional, if you want to actually start hormone replacement therapy or go down the surgery lines at all. Mm-hmm. There are some people who are just fine with identifying as the gender that they feel like.
Right.
And that's totally fine if they don't want to pursue any sort of medical transitioning part of it. That's never forced or never you have to do this to
no
trans.
No
you
I
have to.
Who is that British comedian who was like that, did not undergo any surgery? Oh dear, this is terrible. I've actually seen him live for a couple of decades.
I think I might know who you're talking about, but I
totally he would dress female.
You're not talking Boy George.
No. This is a comedian who tours around the world.
Okay. Better be careful what I say.
Yeah. And then finally, in the last 10 years, and I think he's probably in his 60s now, he has undergone surgery. He's also run for Parliament in Great Britain. So hopefully his name will come up before the hour is over. But
yeah, let's hope for that.
Yeah, he's great. And when I do remember, if it's not during this time, I'll shoot you both an email so you can look at him on YouTube. Yeah, he's great.
I think did you want to say something more? They.
Now he would be.
Okay, so the they thing is definitely, I just feel we need to look for a better pronoun, but that's going to take time. I think I heard a conversation once about a father who commented about his daughter who was quite shy, withdrawn, slightly depressed, and so on. She transitioned to becoming a boy and changed their personality, became a happier person, and so on.
And so became outgoing, but probably because they were feeling, finally, for the first time, comfortable and happy.
Yeah.
So that's a whole kind of conversation, isn't it? That conversation about not discovering your identity, discovering You know, and at what age is that, can one, like one's parents, for example, interfere or get involved or?
That's definitely a delicate subject. For that one, it really depends on, well, parents and the child themselves. If the child themselves, they just want to identify more, say, for you know, what you were talking about, girl identifying more as a boy, you can just start dressing that way.
Right.
Cut your hair,
right.
Don't have to use makeup. Use the pronouns if they want, or the sometimes is they can change their name and just use that as that, and start that when they're younger, whenever that, because I know a lot of it for myself at least, and a few other stories I've heard. People who are trans, they realize this when they're like 4 or 5 years old.
Right.
Like it's fairly young.
Right.
Because you're what you like to play with, what you like to do.
Yeah.
What you're kind of like, that kind
yeah.
of thing. What your burgeoning personality is kind of
mm-hmm.
moving to be that.
Yeah. So do you think I love that term, burgeoning personality.
Well, it
and
is.
You would hope you had a very empathetic, loving parent, right? At least one of them.
At least, very true. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I really appreciate this conversation. I think I'm so grateful we have you here because I just feel the importance of what you're talking about, what we're talking about is kind of huge.
Mm-hmm.
But do people make mistakes? Like, I think, I mean, maybe I felt at some point that it would be nice to be a boy. I mean, I know we always want a boy in our family because we didn't have any, but apart from my brother who had Down syndrome and left home early. But yeah, that was a whole horrible story. But, you know, is it natural? It's natural. Is it natural? I mean, for children to have confusion about their gender identity?
Yeah, I would think so. The thing kind of, like, again, gender is kind of more of a fluid thing. You can kind of be more feminine or more masculine depending on your own personality. And definitely depending on age, you can kind of more experiment. If you're in a more accepting household for it, you can experiment being more masculine or more feminine.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's kind of really dependent on your household.
Right.
If you're on more conservative, you're definitely going to be hiding it, repressing everything, and that usually spirals into a whole bunch of other problems.
I think I've seen families where they don't identify the gender of the child in the sense that they don't provide gender appropriate so-called toys, as an example.
Yeah, that's.
I think that happens a lot more now. You just provide toys.
You just provide toys. What the kid, what the child actually wants. So you can kind of involve them a little bit more, or you.
They take them to the toy store.
Actually pay attention to the kid, and they're like, oh, hey, they like playing with, say, dolls a little bit more, or they like to play with trucks, cars, and whatnot a little bit more. But they could play with both. Really doesn't. Toys are toys. They're inanimate objects that can kind of go between either gender. Then
toys also help children
act out.
Imagine themselves in different roles in their life. They actually. There are countries that discourage play and want life for children to be all study and learning. But toys are ways to experiment with who you might be, how you might be, what you might like, what you don't like. They're really, really important.
I agree. So, okay, next question. Did you have any favorite toys or did you, like, what? How was that experience for you?
Again, growing up in a very conservative household, it was...
Prescribed?
Yeah, they were prescribed. It was only if I was in... I did actually like playing with dolls a lot more, but I had to alter it to, I like action figures and getting all like kind of the more hyper masculine things because my father was very hyper masculine, roughneck drill and on the rigs and everything like that, so he had to be the absolute macho to even
fulfill his expectations, perhaps, right?
Yes.
How many children were in your family?
Just me and my brother.
Okay
right. So
older or younger?
Younger brother.
Okay, so you got all the pressure.
Yeah, being the firstborn at the same son,
one's
a lot of pressure's put on top of you for that one. And
for sure.
Okay, so I saw this movie about a young boy who liked to dress up in kind of girly type clothes, wear jewelry and dance. And he had two gay parents. And I think they I don't know if you saw this movie, but...
That sounds quite interesting.
It was a really great movie. And one of the parents that wanted to protect him because he... I think all parents do want to protect their children.
I would assume so if they're actually caring parents.
You would hope.
Yeah, but I think the care sort of took the form of like, well, let's get them enrolled in hockey or, you know, sort of more masculine so-called endeavors. Mm-hmm. And the other parent was more relaxed about, you know, the fact, oh, let's just let them dance and dress up and hey, who cares, right? So that impulse... I think that's a sort of an impulse, a family, a parent impulse, isn't it?
Yeah, that's also. I'm sorry to interrupt. For my opinion, it's more of a defensive mechanism for them too, because if it's coming from both gay parents, they're probably trying to protect their kid because they remember being bullied for being gay themselves, and trying to like, I don't want that for my child. Try and make sure to protect them as much as I can. You have to. Kind of conform to what society wants of you instead of what you truly feel on the inside.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah, that the parents were, because of their own experiences, wanting to protect that child from perhaps some scorn or ridicule that they had experienced.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, can we talk about that some more too? I just think that children experience hurt. It can't be a positive thing in any kind of way. I mean, sometimes you can look around or look back at experiences that you had and think, okay, that was a growth opportunity. Do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, it is definitely like different. At the time, can be traumatizing and terrible. Other times, eventually, can be growth if acted properly. Approached properly or approached in a healthy sort of mindset instead of trying to recoil or reactive thinking all the time.
So parents can actually, I know some parents, like families of minorities, will prepare their children by being using humor, for example, as a way to help with, diverting, I guess is the word, the harm or the hurt that they're going to experience.
More of like a deflecting kind of thing.
Deflecting.
Is a defense mechanism to like, oh, someone's bothering you or making fun of you. You kind of bluff it off as a joke and make some sort of silly, sarcastic comment to blow it, kind of brush it away.
It's a hard thing for a little child to be able to do, though, don't you think?
Yes, it is. And really, depending on the kid, if they're very... open and not introverted, more an extroverted person, that makes using humor as a defense mechanism and as kind of a deflection is easier for an extroverted person, less for an introverted person. They'll take a lot of things more personally and kind of react and or just kind of shut down and be quiet because of it.
That's very observant. That's true.
I'm sorry.
Hard for introverts.
Yeah. Some comment that I heard before I had this interview with you was that somebody pointed out to me that in some First Nations there is no she, he designation. And I thought, whoa, that's so interesting. Secondly, another thing I've heard about First Nations is that they identify the strengths of their children and they encourage the strengths of their children, which seems to me like a good thing.
Yes, very true. And they're way more accepting and way more intuitive than ever given credit for. And it's finally a good thing that they're actually starting to get some of that credit. There's still a lot of work that needs to be done, but it's a good start in the right direction.
And we're learning about it because finally their voices are being heard. But they were suppressed for hundreds of years. And it's something for us to benefit from, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So the Two-Spirit designation, can you know anything about that? Or
it's kind of like you're a person born with two souls.
Right.
More of a masculine soul, or in a masculine body, you have more of a feminine soul. Or you were more of born in a feminine body, and you have more of a masculine soul. It's more, I guess, would be considered gender fluid for that one.
Right.
At least that's my understanding on it. I'm still trying to learn that one myself.
Right. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I appreciate how articulate you are. It's fantastic. Okay, so another question that I sort of jotted down here is people get confused about gender versus sexual preference. You know, I mean, I guess they make assumptions about gay or they whatever. Can you talk to that at all? I'm not being...
I can back up about that. As gender and sexual preference has been used as a very kind of, not stigma, but like a cultural norm for a long period of time. And now it's kind of understanding that, no, it's still fluid and they are different things entirely. One person can be male or female and be attracted to males or females and kind of be attracted to anybody. It's really... again, very personal for that person. It doesn't, and to assume who they're attracted to all the time is kind of, I guess, would consider more of, not quite backwards thinking, but more mm-hmm. close-minded and like, I guess, assuming everybody likes certain things just because of dressed or look a certain way.
You also alluded to the fact that as people grow up and age, they can shift camps.
Yes.
Try on different clothing to mm-hmm. see what fits them and then shift back to, no, I'm more here. So it's an evolutionary yeah. process, which...
what they feel more comfortable mm-hmm. with, what they feel more like, this is me, not mm-hmm. this is what I'm supposed to be. This
mm-hmm.
is who I feel inside, not who everybody wants me to be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Can you believe it? We're at the halftime. I was kind of worried. I thought, are we going to have enough questions? But obviously, it's not too much of a problem, is it? But okay, so we're just going to identify who we are and where we are. We're at 90.1 FM Cathet Community Radio, and we're interviewing Catherine, who kindly agreed to come and talk about the Pride Cathet. No, what is it called? Cathet Pride.
Cathet Pride Society.
Yeah. Right. So we're super grateful for this conversation. So where are we in terms of good questions here?
I'm actually curious. When is the Cathet Pride Society's, when is the designated month?
For the Pride Month?
That's yeah.
That's kind of a general thing of June.
Generally June.
So we're approaching June, that right
but, yeah, we're approaching it right away. But the, our local festivities and like... the main Pride parade is happening in July, I think July 4th.
Okay, yeah, sort of the same kind of area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know Smith was excited about the idea of us promoting that particular event, and I know Jules is doing a choir,
yes,
which looks interesting for people that of the queer society, I guess. Is that the right way to say that?
Yeah.
That'll work. Okay, so, and there are other events. There's an actual parade, I presume?
Yeah, mm-hmm. parade is happening on July 4th, and...
that's for sure now?
Yes, that's
okay.
That's it. That's written in stone.
So we can give a nod to that one near
yeah.
the end, too, maybe.
And for the choir there, Jules is doing it once a week, every week in June, to kind of prepare for that. Because they'll be having a big, not quite concert, but like, they'll be singing at the parade event.
Oh, really? Okay.
Will they be down at Willingdon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you guys have to pay for a parade license from the city?
I believe, yeah.
Oh, that's such a drag, isn't it? Okay. So tell me about the society a little bit. Do you meet regularly? What's the scoop there?
We meet fairly regularly, usually about once a month or so. And we've thankfully been able to use the Magpie's Diner there.
Oh.
And they're wonderful. And we have our little meetings there once a week.
So how many of you meet?
Roughly. About 7-8 of us.
Yeah, that's good.
And what do you do? I mean, apart from having conversations, which I'm sure you have a lot of,
mm-hmm.
What do you produce pamphlets or go on social media, or just how do you reach out to people?
Social media, not quite pamphlets, but more of posters and stuff that gets put up around the town and whatnot, or gets passed around to certain places.
Okay.
You must be planning a lot around the parade right now, though.
Yeah, it's getting quite pretty busy.
So what's it looking focus, like? Right? Like, what's for sure now?
Do you want me to ask another question while you're doing that?
Yeah, sure. You scroll away.
Okay, so I want to ask you about support for the queer community in Powell River, Cathet. Is it do you experience a lot of homophobia here? Can you comment on our community?
For the most part, it's been fairly accepting.
You'd been here 7 years, was it?
Yes.
Yeah. So you must be seeing a shift also.
Has been, and definitely kind of more politically charged. There's been a lot more outspoken hate sometimes.
Really?
Yeah, there's been a bit. There's still a dedicated few crowd that is very homophobic, anti-queer, anti-gay, everything like that. They're feeling more empowered to start speaking louder and being more in your face about it.
I guess they feel justified and inspired by what's going on in the United States, perhaps.
Yeah.
Which is not a great place to be if you have a trans child, for example.
No.
I was doing a little bit of research before coming here, and the U.S. was so slow to recognize gay rights, so slow to recognize marriage. They took until 2015 in the U.S., whereas in Canada, it's like it was around 2000 that Bill C-23, the government of Canada, granted same-sex couples the same social and tax benefits as heterosexual common law couples. So the U.S. has been resistant, and it's building again.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, I think we have to take comfort in the fact that these numbers are small but extremely loud and upsetting.
Yes.
What they're saying is upsetting, so it kind of magnifies their loudness. But I think accepting, respectful, kind people definitely prevail.
I guess we have,
but we're not noisy, and we're not rude, and we're not vulgar.
I think that we have. It's incumbent upon us to speak up. Maybe those of us that are not homophobic or racist or whatever. Maybe there's a responsibility there. That, in fact, I know the city has encouraged us to come and speak there. So that they hear the other side of the coin, not just one side of the coin all the
time.
That's
a very good point, because to be quiet is to passively condone bad behavior.
Yeah.
And so we have to behave like grown-ups and protect the rights for everybody. Did you find what you were looking for?
Yes, I finally found it.
Okay.
Going through all the emails, like, which one was it?
I couldn't think that fast on my feet, so well done, you.
Multitasking.
Yeah.
Okay. For the month of June, starting on June 1st at 10 a.m., they have the flag raising at City Hall.
Okay, good.
And all month long on Mondays, their queer choir.
That's the one that is meeting with Jules?
Is open to any age.
Okay, cool.
So adults and children.
And where do they meet?
I am looking for that. You kind of have to aim.
That's another rabbit hole, probably.
Yeah, that one's another rabbit hole. I don't have the date for right here.
But you got some scheduling in front of you.
Yes,
so carry
on.
I do
have scheduling for that. June 3rd is Ice Cream Social at Wild Scoop at 6:30 to 8:30.
Fantastic.
And then June 10th, we have a poetry slam and open mic at 32 Lakes Cafe and Bakery from 6:30 to 8:30. And June 24th is Cinema, and Pride Movies.
Oh, that's
at
right.
Pacifica Theater.
That's right. I saw that.
Yeah. And Fried with Pride at...
Fried with Pride?
Yeah, at Superchargers. They're doing fried chicken, I believe.
Okay.
On June 28th from 12 till 3 p.m.
Well, so that sort of leads me to my next question, which is the support in the community for the queer community. Mm-hmm. It seems like you guys are doing a lot of outreach.
Yes. They've been doing a lot right now, and I think we're on the third annual parade, because I don't think we've had one for a long time, but the last, 3 years, they've been dedicatedly doing it every year now.
Yeah, I know. I know people are actually going on attending, and probably more support every year, hopefully.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing. I guess I'd like my next question to be related to how to support a young person that is coming out in the context of the family. Yes. Can you?
Again, that very situational, and it's kind of accept them with an open heart, open mind, and let them come out at their own pace.
Mm-hmm.
Because you try and force them or do everything too fast, it could actually kind of shell shock them a little bit and have them introvert back into themselves, like, oh, that's too much and too much pressure, and then
well, particularly if they're feeling tentative in their exploration.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah
there's a word for that, bi-curious, right?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good one.
Did you just make that up?
No, I've actually heard that word before.
Oh. That one's been put around quite a while. I remember hearing that when I was younger.
I think there's another word too, like, and this is going to sound really funny, but like bells go off when you see somebody who's gay, and there's a word for expression for that. Particularly if you're already identifying as gay, like it's like ching ching, oh, there's another gay person out there. Have you heard that before?
Possibly, but that I might have been also mishearing that for something else.
Yeah. Okay. Well, moving right along. So I think really bringing up a child is about reading the book, and the child's the book.
Yes.
I found that was the case when I was bringing up my daughter, that really you just listen and watch, and you can see that. Okay, so next question. Being different. How do you feel about that, being different?
I don't really feel like I know I'm different, but I don't feel as that is kind of like a...
You're a human.
Well, exactly. I'm me. I'm myself now.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid to be myself.
Right.
Or
yeah,
to present
right.
as who I want to.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to constantly mask and hide behind this persona that you're trying to push out just to fit in or go unnoticed through the world.
Can I ask, I've been wondering, your email moniker is Grim Angel. And so, like, there's Grim on one side and then an angel.
It's a great
and I look for angels. Mm-hmm. And so that one, or is that something from a long time ago?
It is from a long time ago and I kind of stayed with it. But
sure.
It has also been kind of, I was always been kind of like a grim looking person, but felt more of an angel on the inside of there.
I can see that.
I look kind of scary and menacing a lot of the time, especially when before I transitioned, I tried to just put on an aura of don't mess with me, don't talk to me, don't do anything like that. I don't want to deal with anybody else's BS.
Yeah, that's a good skill to acquire regardless, isn't it?
Yeah, that is true, especially nowadays. It's like, okay, yeah, no, that still kind of comes in fact, but now it's more of...
But you're really jolly.
Yeah, and very open, happy person.
But you're a tall, large-ish person.
Yes.
So it's fun.
I keep repeating how much I appreciate this conversation, but I just got to say, I really do.
Yeah, if Cynthia and I are ever step.
Oh, yeah, no,
just
totally
to say,
fine.
Now that's enough. Calm down.
Okay, so you just reminded me of something I want to ask you, and that is there a question that you would wish that we had asked you? Say you leave here and you go, oh, geez, I wish they'd asked me such and such. No?
No, I kind of came in with an open mind and just answer the questions and help kind of bridge that gap of help understanding and whatnot, because I'm also trying to, since being more open, try not to overshare and kind of dump everything, trauma dump kind of thing on everybody else.
Oh, that's that's an interesting expression, trauma dump.
Dump.
Yeah, I like that. Okay,
that's not coming across at all.
No worries there. No,
but you had your schedule. I just want to go back a hair because you explained how June is going to unfurl, and it sounds like a lot of lovely planning's been going on. But the parade itself, what do you know so far about it, or is that heavily in planning?
I know the date. Everything is scheduled, and there's already people setting up to. Like filling out paperwork and
when do they have to get it in? Yeah, when do they have to get it into your group by to be?
I don't know an exact date, but as best is just kind of as soon as possible.
Yeah,
sooner the better, because then we can get everything organized and kind of set up that way.
Mm-hmm.
I just know for any vendors and whatnot that are getting set up at Willington Beach, we are not providing tents or anything like that. That's kind of bring your own and kind of sort yourself out for that.
Of course.
So can you comment on that event a little bit more, because it kind of went over my head because I'm sitting here thinking about other things related.
So that's July 4th, right?
Yes, July 4th.
July right. 4th. So what's happening that day again? Sorry, could you repeat?
July 4th is starting with the parade.
At what time?
2 p.m. is the parade. Okay. And then afterwards, till I think about 6 o'clock, there's the vendors and everything like that at Willington. And then...
So you kind of have a bunch of tents set up in Willington Park, and
Pride
people
Fest
can...
after sorry. Party, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just forgot about that and added there. After all the stuff going on for the parade and Willington, there's the after party event at 6:30 at the alley for like music and drinks and whatnot there.
Where's the alley?
Downstairs.
Oh, the bowling alley.
The bowling alley.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha. I thought maybe there was a secret alley in town I hadn't heard about.
Strikers or the alley, they're also known as. I think they got two different names going for themselves right now.
Do you have bands or musicians that you're aware of that we can promote?
As far as I know, that they're trying to get asking for people like buskers or performers themselves for the Willington Beach event after the parade. Anybody who's... You do have to register, and the email for that I don't have with me. I think it was... It is on the Pride Month posters, but I was only able to find the, like, draft of it.
Okay, so it'll be on the posters. People will... be able to inform themselves.
Keep your eyes out there, and maybe the radio. We're the radio, so hey, we've done our little bit here.
Okay, I'll talk to Smith and get an email out to you guys, and
we can share that. I love sharing stuff. Can you believe we're at the 47 mark? And I can't believe this—a 47 minute mark—and we're still got lots to say here. I just got to say how grateful I am that you're here. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
And it's just an ongoing conversation, really. Maybe we need to have more of these conversations. Well, not maybe. We definitely need to have more of these conversations.
Yeah, this is a really cool evolution of A Bird in the Hand, or The Bird in Hand on the podcast, is that people come in and we realize, oh, 1 hour just doesn't do it. That just covers one facet, just scratches this little bit.
Surface.
Then there's the other bits that we need to. So stay tuned. We may be inviting you back.
Okay.
Especially to keep us on top of schedules.
For sure.
Okay.
And I also think more education about the queer community is called for.
And what you're doing.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Yeah.
I just totally appreciate this so much. And thanks again. Thanks a million. Yeah, thank you so much.
I'm glad it came out.
It's awesome.
So what do you like about Powell River?
For the most part, it's very an open, welcoming community. People are very friendly, and honestly, the area is just beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Coming from a landlocked place, being near the ocean and all the trees and mountains, oh, it's gorgeous.
Yeah. I was at a... I think
are you going to keep talking here or what? We're still...
No, okay, I'll stop because we're near the end, yeah.
Yeah, well, if you want to make one quick final
comment. No, I fly off into my little anecdotes. My husband said, you're talking more than the people coming in, so.
Okay, so do you have a final message? We'll just see if that can fit in. Any final messages?
I hope to see as many people out there for the Pride festivals and events going on as possible.
Perfect, that's great.
One. Just say
bump, bump, bump.
Are we back? Yes, we are. We are back.
I'm going to take responsibility for that one. Okay.
Yeah. I thought
we were finished, but hey, we got a little bit more time, so we can continue with Leslie's anecdote.
Yes. No,
if she did you want to share your anecdote or what?
That was 10 minutes ago. I don't remember what it was.
So I'm going to ask you a question again, and that is the word queer. How do you relate to that word? Is it a problematic word for you at all? And here, this is me maybe projecting or wanting to understand, actually.
It's definitely one of the ones that was kind of more problematic at a certain point in time, but now less so, especially becoming saying the LGBTQ 2A+, I actually remembered the entire thing this time, is rather a mouthful to say, and when you're conversation, it's a little too much.
Can you tell me what that 2A+ means?
Oh.
Two-spirit, right?
Two-spirit, oh, okay. Plus, and then the A, I believe that is asexual.
Mm. Oh, asexual, and what's the plus in there? Do we have, you said the plus.
That's like queer plus.
Okay.
Not entirely sure what the plus is on that one.
Alrighty.
There is a huge like spectrum of all the different
expressions
that make up the Pride community.
Right.
And they're kind of constantly evolving of recently. Like, I'm still kind of struggling to keep up with that because they have like Demi something. Yeah, there's a huge, I think there's like what, 15 or so like that different flags out there now for it.
Okay,
that's getting kind of
okay
intense.
So what you're saying is that queer is kind of a way for embodying all the different expressions of what it means to be queer, right?
Yeah,
right. I don't like that word at all, but anyway, that's just my own personal problem. Right,
yeah. No, that's not an issue at all. That's kind of your more personal taking on that word, and it was used at one point to harm lots of people in the community, and it really sucks.
Yeah, to label and harm, and yes.
I think, this is going back, but my mom really was upset when the word gay got changed to represent the gay community, mm-hmm. because she liked the word gay to mean, you know, fun-loving and having whatever, yeah. all that kind of stuff. So similarly, I think in my generation, to be seen as queer was a little difficult, mm-hmm. because who wants to be thought of as different, queer? Although another message I got as a child was, don't be afraid to be different, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my personal commentary.
Don't be afraid to be different, but then get the insult of being queer and all like that. I was like, oh, okay, what? Yeah,
but don't
like
be too different.
Yeah, I can't be too different.
Don't let anybody know.
What the hell that is.
Yeah. Stay gray.
Yes.
Okay, and the other problematic word for me is, and I do have this conversation with some of my gay friends, is the word dyke.
Yeah.
And again, it's such a hard word.
It is. I've definitely seen that one as more of, that one's more of problematic, same with the other one, the faggot. That one.
Oh, yes, right. One. Yeah.
There is like, those ones are still kind of big no-nos for the most part. There are some people who kind of embrace it and like, hey, joke with it, but it's still more often than not still used to hurt and target that community.
Yeah, I think what you said earlier, and isn't this wonderful that I've got more time to talk and ask questions? I think what you said earlier was that, we're just who we are, and that's how we want to be seen, as just who we are. And we don't want all these, some people called me a hippie at one point, and I thought, or a flower child, and I thought, I think the problem is the label. Labels are so restrictive.
Labels stick you into little boxes.
And, yeah.
We are very, very diverse, all of us. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a cool era we're in, and that we get to embrace all our diversity. I'm actually loving it. It's much better than when I was a child.
Okay. Do you want to comment on that a bit more, Leslie?
No.
Well, you're going to say something interesting like that. You may have to make the odd comment.
I'm good.
We'll let you go. Yeah. Let her off the hook.
No, I'm laughing. I'm
good. Yeah. You're happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Good. Already.
It's a good time, more accepting time to be in. We're finally starting to not have the stigma of being one thing or the other all the time, and understanding people are kind of fluid. There's a lot to be done, and life is so much changing and transforming.
Well, you know what? I think this is kind of boiling down to what your message is for young people and old people and in-between people. Is there a message? Like, is there something that you think that you would like to say to others as a consequence of your own personal journey, maybe, or not?
Be open to the unconventional at times, and don't be afraid to be yourself. And yes, it might come with a little bit of hate, but also comes with a lot of love and acceptance it too.
Oh my God,
that's beautiful.
Oh my God,
you know it's interesting. there's a group of people now that want to jump into little boxes and stay there and have them very rigidly defined, and they want to be rigidly defined. But I think the bulk of us wants to have a more interesting life.
Yeah,
and try on more hats. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's interesting to me also that at my age, you know, they always say, like, old people, you know, you get the privilege of dispensing wisdom because we're so wise, you've had so much experience, et cetera, et cetera. But really, that's not true. I mean, here's Catherine saying stuff that's important to hear.
Well, you know, I was...
an old soul.
You are. But I was thinking when I came in here, how do we define who comes into the studio and who has these conversations with us? And I was trying to tell my husband last night, I think the word is we're looking for explorers. Mm-hmm. We're looking for explorers who are curious. Mm. And that's the kind of person that we're trying to have come in and have conversations, so that Cathet community realizes that it has such a rich group of people living
here.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Well, there's an expression, it goes something like, there are three categories of people, maybe it's four, but one is, some of us are settlers, some of us are pioneers, and some of us are explorers. I kind of always like that, because I like to consider myself a pioneer. Mm-hmm. Not so much of the astronaut type, because I don't like going into dangerous waters. But anyway, just a little piece of trivia for the show.
Explorers, that's what we all want to be.
You think?
I think so.
Well, I'm not sure.
Adventurers and explorers. Mm. Always armed with curiosity and humility.
Curiosity, oh my gosh, yeah, absolutely, yes. Yeah.
So that is a pretty good note to end on. So I'm Leslie, and Cynthia started out being the head host, and Catherine has been our guest, and you have been listening to A Bird in the Hand on CJMP 90.1 Cathet Community Radio, and we hope that more of you want to be explorers and adventurers. Thank you for listening.
Thanks. Thanks to Catherine again.
Thanks, Catherine.